Wherever you are in the world, thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Badminton Podcast, a community for badminton players by badminton players, proudly brought to you by Velan. We talk all things badminton and aim to inspire you to be better in your game and in life by celebrating the people and stories of our global badminton community, whether they be past or present professional players, social players, officials or fans.
We're your hosts, Jeff and Henry, and we love badminton. From the bottom of our hearts, we'd just like to say thank you to everyone who has listened to, shared, and been part of the podcast. It wouldn't be possible without you all. If you do enjoy our episodes and can spare just a couple of dollars each month, you can really help keep the podcast going by supporting us on Patreon. Just visit www.patreon.com/thebadmintonpodcast. We'll leave the link in the description. The Badminton Podcast is brought to you by Velant. Henry and I founded Velant out of our own frustration with the confusing, bright, and unsightly clothes we saw in badminton all over the world. But now, it's so much bigger than that. Our mission is to simplify the badminton journey and show the world how incredible badminton is. So make sure you check out our badminton basics at velantwear.com and follow us on our socials at velantwear.
Hello, badminton community. Today we have a very special episode. We actually have a panel of guests today. So four guests from Northern Marianas. So let's introduce them all. So I will start with Merle Tolentino, and hopefully I'm getting everyone's names correctly as I'm doing this as well. So we have Merle Tolentino. She's the Northern Marianas Badminton Association's president and also the executive director of the Tan Su Lin Foundation, which supports community projects such as sports development. Under her leadership, they competed in badminton in the 2019 Pacific Games for the first time, and they're hosting the Pacific Mini Games next year in 2022. Next up, we have Janelle Pangilinan. Hopefully I'm getting that one correct as well. She's Northern Marianas national player and board member. She's 21 and is currently studying a Bachelor's of Business Management 2. She's competed in the 2019 Pacific Games in Samoa and is now juggling being an athlete, board member, and a student. So for our third guest, we have Christy Villaflor. She is an accountant, an educator, and she is also the Badminton Secretary General for the Northern Marianas Badminton Association. And as part of this role, she is the local shuttle time coordinator for Northern Marianas Badminton Association, or the NMBA. She also loves to play recreationally, and she's also a soccer player and a coach too. But we have one more guest. Last but not least, we have Nathan Guerrero on the podcast, who is the Northern Marianas national team captain and the vice president of NMBA. He's 27 years old and been playing badminton for about 4 years now. Outside of badminton, he's a facility administrator at Saipan Renal Care.
Playing sports, it's not just about becoming a good athlete. It's also you're trying to achieve, like, be healthy like that. So I feel like playing sports, it's not just for competition, it's also for your health.
I actually played with, I would say, like, better people when I was younger. So it actually helped me improve. Playing with them makes me improve. Even though I'm not as good as them, I always think, like, I'm just there to improve myself and better my skills. So that's how I got that mentality to actually be better every day when I play.
The kids, the school kids now, was able to learn and know that there is another sports, badminton, that they were not aware of. But now with the shuttle time that we are conducting with the schools, they become aware that there's another sports and this is a good sports that they can try and grow with.
If you give yourself a limit, then you're always going to be obviously limited to that. You need to, you know, sky's the limit. So as long as you have that mindset to grow 1% every day, you're going to get there, I believe so.
Well, welcome onto the podcast, our panel of guests today.
Awesome. We're happy to be here.
Great. We're really excited to talk to you. Apparently, we're in the same time zone, which is super exciting. But first of all, for the badminton community, our listeners that are listening to us today, can you please tell us where Northern Marianas is?
Okay, so, you know, every time I explain this, when I go abroad, when I go to the US mainland or anywhere else, nobody knows where it's at. So I'll say like, oh, do you know where Guam's at? And they'll be like, yeah. I'll be like, okay, right next to Guam. That's just the best I can explain it.
It is located in the Northern Pacific. It's not Spain, but Saipan.
Yeah, because every time we say Saipan, somebody will say, oh, Spain. I was like, no, Saipan, totally different.
So if someone out there doesn't know where Guam is, let's just say they're from Europe and they're listening and they have no idea, what's probably the biggest country that is close by that they will probably know?
Japan, Philippines. Korea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right near Asia.
Yeah, we're part of the, like, more of East Asia.
Yeah.
So if we were to take a flight from Japan to Northern Marianas, how long would that take?
It's like 3 hours. 3 hours, 45 minutes. It's Saipan or Northern Mariana Islands. It's like 3 hours or over, like from China, from Japan, from Korea, from 5 hours from Hong Kong, right?
Yeah, just about.
So we're there.
I used to play baseball, and for when we win the regional tournament, we represent Asia Pacific. We don't represent Saipan or CNMI.
Fantastic. And is the weather there like a tropical weather, humid, that kind of weather, or is it more like Japan? I'm not too sure. What's the weather like there?
Oh, it's hot. It's hot over here. You know, when it hits nighttime, it's just less hot. That's what it is.
Yeah. So hot or very hot are the two temperatures.
Yeah. Look, although we're in the same time zone and we're directly under you, I think we would really appreciate some hot weather right about now because it's freezing cold over here in Melbourne.
Oh, must be nice.
That must be nice. Be careful what you ask for, right? It's real hot here. Weeks.
Yeah. That's true. I think when it's hot, I complain that it's hot. And when it's cold, I complain that it's cold. So either way, I'm not winning, am I? So anyway, we'll move on and talk about you guys more and talk about Northern Marianas. So with Northern Marianas, and hopefully I'm saying this correctly as well, CNMI, like how big is the population there? And we'll bring it back to badminton and talk specifically about badminton. How many badminton participants do you have over there?
In terms of population, we have, I think, around 60,000 people in the CNMI. And then with badminton, we have over 100 players, both competitive and recreational players. And we also have students. We are trying to develop badminton, but we don't have the numbers yet. So, but then we can say that we have more than 100 players actively playing badminton.
That's fantastic. And hopefully that's something you can grow. And I know that you're working really hard on growing the sport with shuttle time and everything that you're doing. But in the podcast, we do really like to go into the stories of all of our guests and how they got introduced to badminton, why they love badminton, and what's their favorite thing about what they've done in badminton. Is it representing a team? Is it the people that you meet there? Is it the development and the learning that you do? So let's start with Janelle, because you're at the front there, right? So let's start with you. What's your badminton story? How did you get started and how did you progress to where you are now? And then we'll move backwards. And then we'll have Nathan next, followed by Merle and then Christy.
Okay, I started actually when I was 11 years old. Badminton Oceania came here for a summer program in 2011. And they had that, I believe, for 2 weeks. So as 11 years old, I, you know, like, okay, it's just a summer camp. But then after playing it for 2 weeks, I started to love the sport. So I started to go and play every morning for my whole summer 2011. And then after that, I started to play. Even if school started, I still played every night or every weekend. And then I have a brother who plays with me. He's also part of the national team. Started to improve better than me for at first. And then later on, he joined tournaments and I was like, okay, I want to join too. So after that, I just kept on playing and then started to just love the sport. I love how it's not just about winning. It's just about how I develop my skills of just playing every day all the time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do really want to segue into something else, but I feel like we should hear everybody else's story before we do that. So let's move on to Nathan before we come back to you, Janelle.
Okay.
I saw, yeah, I'm probably the newest bunch in the, the newest person in the national team to play badminton. I've played like 4 years now because I grew up playing baseball. My family's a baseball family. So I've been playing for like 15 to 20 years now. Got into it because before, a lot of nurses played badminton. My wife being a nurse, they called her. And so I followed and then I ended up liking it a lot. So I stopped playing baseball and just continued playing badminton. And I've been in love with the sport ever since and been looking to grow starting from then.
Fantastic. And I know that Henry didn't segue, but I just wanted to ask you one question before we go into Merle's story. How beneficial was baseball to your, with your throwing action, with your overhead shots in badminton?
It helps a lot actually, because I was a pitcher in baseball. So the motion from when I throw, it really helps with the motion from when I'm smashing or just, you know, overheads or anything like that. Yeah, it really helps a lot. One thing that is very different is probably the cardio. When I started playing badminton at 10 points, I was done already. Exhausted.
Great. And Merle.
Okay. So unlike Janelle and Nate, they started playing badminton, not a very young, but still young age. I only started playing badminton when in 2008. I think I was already, how old is that? I'm not as young as them.
Were you 10 in 2008, Merle?
I'm sorry. I started late already. So I started playing badminton through, you know, friends. One of our friends invited us to play this sport, but we know badminton from Philippines. I came from Philippines, so I migrated here. And badminton is the first sport that was introduced to me. And I like it. And I see a lot of people enjoying it. We sweat a lot. And it's not just like for people that look athletic. Badminton, it's not difficult to learn as long as you practice every day. Then you get better and better. I just started loving it because I see a lot of shouting, laughing. Badminton in the beginning, it's all and purely recreational. We do a lot of friendly games within the group and that's it. And then I had fun and we started to get involved, not just playing the sports, but also like how to bring this badminton sports in CNMI into the next level.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I will buy it. I will ask questions this time. I will come back to you, Janelle. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten about you as well. But in terms of you, Merle, you said that badminton was one of the first sports you tried. And, you know, there is shouting and laughing in other sports as well. So what was it about badminton specifically that made you love it more?
So it's fun. It's in the beginning, right? You think it's so easy to hit the shuttle. And then you miss it, right? And then you pretend you're hitting it and then it's behind you, right? There. So it's just a lot of enjoyment and like it's fulfilling when you see yourself, your friends are sweating. I think playing sports, it's not just about becoming a good athlete. It's also you're trying to achieve, like be healthy like that. So I feel like playing sports, it's not just for competition. It's also for your health.
Yeah, that's great. Look, it's badminton is a sport for everyone and it's fun on so many levels. And the way that you've described it just there just warms my heart, Merle. Anyway, let's move on to Christy for her badminton story as well.
Okay, I started playing badminton when I was in the Philippines, like recreational game with my coworkers. And then when I migrated here, the first year that I was with the company, we have a sports fest. And badminton is one of the sports that was introduced during the sports fest. And then from there, I met the people that started badminton, the organization of badminton here in Northern Marianas. They started inviting us to play badminton. That's where my badminton kicked off really, like I played every week. Though it's recreational, but it's a lot of fun. And you know, when you're new in the island, nothing to do, the sports is the most important thing that you can do. And then it helps us a lot also because when we started with our summer program for Saipan Sari School, badminton is one of the sports that we introduce with the kids. So with the little knowledge that I got from playing badminton, we were able to cascade it with the kids.
Yeah, that's great. And what do you find from your perspective, being involved heavily in soccer or football as well, depending on where you are in the world and what you call it, Are there any similarities that you see between soccer and badminton that you can, do you try to get the soccer players to try badminton and vice versa? Is that something that you like to do as well?
Yeah, we would love to do that because badminton is also a developmental game, same as soccer, but soccer is a team sport, not like badminton, it's an individual sport. But with like all the footworks and all those things, they are basically the same because they train the same thing with soccer.
Yeah, it's that sort of that aerobics fitness kind of training, but then there's sort of the nuances to the sport as well. So I will bring it back to you now, Janelle. So we're talking about summer camp. Let's take you back to 2013, playing every day with your brother. So Merle also mentioned that she started 2008, even further back. And even earlier in this podcast, you mentioned that there's about 100 badminton participants. So Janelle, in 2013, how do you get good at badminton? I know you're playing every day, but yeah, how do you get good at badminton in Northern Marianas? What was the challenges that you had to face?
So as starting as like a kid, right, you see a lot of other players, especially when you start, there's more players that are better than you. And of course, you want to improve and be like them. So my mentality in that time was like, man, I want to be like that. I want to improve. I want to get those high intense games and everything. So it also my dad, because I would say like badminton was kind of expensive to us. So it's, hey, you better win. You paid for this or something. So, but then like at the same time, you know, I wanted to improve. So I actually played with those, I would say like better people when I was younger. So it actually helped me improve. Just, I'm not really afraid to play with them. It's just that I always think about it like, oh, playing with them makes me improve. Even though I'm not as good as them, I always think like, I'm just there to improve myself and better my skills. So that's how I got that mentality to actually be better every day when I play.
Yeah, that's really important. A great mindset to have, and probably the mindset of many athletes or many high achievers like yourself who are really striving to do the best that they can in anything they do, whether it be sport or study or your career or your work as a board member. I'm sure that that carries through in a lot of aspects of your life. I would like to continue this conversation about these challenges, though, with just anyone. I'm happy to hear from anyone just with regards to what the challenges you've faced during the years in badminton, whether that be, Nathan, you said access to, say, a badminton store, that there's no badminton store. But so that's obviously a challenge to get the latest equipment. Is there challenges finding good coaches or the right information or the right technical things or entering tournaments? I know there's natural things like cyclones and everything like that. So I'd love to hear from everyone or anyone who has to share about what are the challenges that you do face over there when trying to develop as a badminton player or a badminton coach or trying to develop a whole badminton program.
Okay, I'll start first. As an NMB official, I think CNMI is a unique country. We have a very small population. Imagine all the sports are being played here. And we have to compete among the other sports. That is one of the challenges. And as you know, right, CNMI was hit by Sudilor, by Typhoon U2, and then now COVID. It's like every time we try to, what is this, promote the sports, get a bigger pool for national players or compete, like travel to Guam or other place, like train in Korea like that. It stops us because of these unforeseen events. And there are players that this badminton also requires, before air badminton was introduced, we only play it indoor. So, and we have limited facility to play the sports. So we're trying. That's why I said, when you asked me earlier, how many players do we have? And I only gave you 100 plus. But really, those 100 plus, most of them, they play every day. And even these national players, you see them almost every day in the gym. But we're trying to introduce the sports through shuttle time and this now air badminton and to promote the sports. So that is one of the many challenges as an official of badminton like we're facing right now.
Yeah, I can imagine it'd be incredibly challenging to progress forwards with so many natural disasters and obviously some quite challenging events globally at the moment as well. So we're going back to your point on the 100 plus badminton players that do play badminton almost every day. I want to get a bit more of an understanding of Northern Marianas, or specifically Saipan, in terms of how many badminton courts. Is there only one badminton court that you're all, this 100 and 100 plus players are going to?
Okay, we have an active badminton gym. We have 3 courts. But then there is one private school that has its own gym that also includes badminton as one of their PE class. So other than that, none that I know. But I think before all this typhoon happened, I think one of the high school here, Marianas High School, they have badminton, right, class. But then they also stopped it. Yeah, NMC, but limited. It's only our own gym that we use every day for practice.
Definitely sounds like it'd be challenging just to get courts. So there's 100 plus players and only one gym and 3 courts in there. So if we go over to you, Nathan, as captain of the national team or the national team there, and you're talking about your training environment and trying to get your sessions in to improve, what are the challenges that you're facing as an athlete?
So I think one of the main challenges that we had was that none of us or all of us were basically learning off of each other and YouTube. We haven't really been coached before. And then prior to that, we were just hit with Typhoon Yutu, which was a really big storm, really messed up the island. So yeah, it was just about having the mindset to, you know, try and grow every day despite everything that was going on and get our hours in, get our training sessions in and push through. And yeah, that's basically the mindset that we had. Like you were saying earlier, I guess, yeah, the challenges of like not having a store, you know, limited shuttles as well. Everything we have to order, or like rackets, we can't really know what our preference of rackets is, right? Because it's not like when you have a badminton store, you can test out a racket or you can at least feel it in your hand. Over here, you just have to order it blindly, look at the specs, and hopefully that's the same. Because as you know, you can get a 4U racket, like a Yonex and a Victor, right? And it can have sort of the same specs, but the feeling's going to be different. So yeah. That was some of the main challenges we faced.
Yeah, I can definitely appreciate the challenge on the rackets and equipment in general. I think for us, we're very fortunate here that badminton is obviously not the most popular sport, but still there's quite, I guess, relatively more participation, and we can actually ask a friend to try out different rackets and we have access to stores, etc. So the challenges that you face are certainly, I can imagine it'd be quite difficult to develop with such restricted access to those sorts of things. And you briefly mentioned, I think it was Typhoon Yutu or Cyclone Yutu. I personally haven't experienced anything like that in terms of natural disasters. What actually happens? Does like the whole island go and shut down and everyone just goes indoors? Like what kind of time periods and sort of the impacts of that? Just so I guess for me and then for our listeners, we can get some insight on what you guys have to experience over there.
When the typhoon hit us, yeah, it was everything. There was no power. A lot of the roads, the gym was closed. Everything was damaged. It's hard to even drive on the roads because there's a lot of debris on the road. So yeah, the main thing was that there was no power, the cleanup and everything like that, helping the community, reaching out to everybody. I was working at the hospital at the time, so we were on the outreach team. So we go into the community, take surveys and make sure everything, find out what they need, what their medical necessities is and how we can help as well.
Our badminton gym was not damaged. It's just that we had to stop our training or practices because we needed a gym in order for us to use it as a temporary distribution center for relief goods. So we closed, I think, for 5 or 6 months like that. And then before we resume our badminton training again.
So we had a good 5 months of training for the Samoa Games.
5 months. Yeah. 5 months of handing out food.
And they train without coach, right?
Oh, yeah. No coaches or nothing.
Okay. Well, hopefully YouTube, I know it is tricky. It'd be great to get some coaches out there to help the team and all the athletes there. But I guess with YouTube and to technology, even though it's not ideal, I guess it is better than, say, where we would have been 20, 30 years ago without that kind of access to YouTube and the resources there. So hopefully a few positives there and hopefully lots of things you're gaining from those videos that you can work on an individual basis as well. So we are going to switch gears a little bit here, and it's coming to basically the board that you have and the people that are helping grow the sport there. We did hear recently that you've appointed board members with over 50% of the board members are female, which is the highest percentage compared to any other sports in Northern Marianas. So from your perspective, how did you achieve that? And what do you feel the importance is to having this gender representation in your sport or in the sport of badminton? And Christy, we haven't heard from you for a while. If you've got a good answer for us here.
We actually were the poor people that always go to badminton, and we saw the sports from the beginning, and we want to do something about it because it's basically at the beginning of it, it's all recreational, and we want to give these players a chance to compete in different avenues, like compete with a higher competition. Thus, we get involved, and we were lucky that the people support us to be part of the Badminton Association of Northern Marianas from the time on until now.
Yep. And I guess it just so happened that on this panel, I guess you're more female dominated. 3-1 there. So, but yeah, I guess if we stick on this gender equality and just gender equality in general, and maybe perhaps in sports or in badminton, we can focus on, what do you think is the most important thing about bringing gender equality to sport or to management in itself?
Janelle, it looks like you want to answer.
I would say, you know, like it doesn't really matter what gender you are, and if you want, it really varies on how you love the sport. So it doesn't really matter if, you know, like they say that man is stronger than the female in sport, but that can be true. But of course, everyone has their own type of skills that they can develop. So being as a board member for the first time just helped me, like, wanted to get more onto the other sport. So I actually was always part of being involved around badminton, but never just part of the board. I just always help out in that. So it doesn't really bother me of, like, because I really love doing it. I don't complain, or I just love doing that. So now if me as a board member, as a woman also, wanted to be part of this board so that I can be more evolved, so that badminton can actually evolve more in the CMI.
And definitely, are you the youngest board member?
Yes.
Ever?
Ever? Maybe.
We had one before. It was Andrew.
Andrew was
one of the youngest board members before.
Okay. Great, great. And just out of curiosity, what is the proportion of male compared to female badminton players or participants over there? Because in Australia, it is definitely dominated more by males, so more male players than female players. What's it like over there?
I think it's
I think it's about 60-40. It's not so much of a difference. Yeah.
Okay, great. And we have touched on shuttle time as well and how that has helped badminton develop in Northern Marianas as well. So for those listeners who aren't really sure what shuttle time is, it was launched in 2012 by the BWF, and it's a school's badminton program that supports the principle that children should be able to lead a healthy and active lifestyle both in and out of school. And it's BWF's goal to make badminton one of the most popular and most accessible school sports. So Christy, I know that you said that you were heavily involved in shuttle time there. How have you felt that shuttle time has helped to grow badminton from the school level? And how is that being able to transfer over to, say, the social or the club level?
Right. Because, like, one of the things that we're competing with other sports, with the introduction of shuttle time, the kids, the school kids now was able to learn and know that there is another sports, badminton, that they were not aware of. But now with the shuttle time that we are conducting with the schools, they become aware that there's another sports and this is a good sports that they can try and grow with, because this is like an individual sports. And we have a lot of support from our national team every time we conduct shuttle time, and they're enjoying the shuttle time.
If I may add, I think shuttle time is also the initial step in introducing the sports in the interscholastic level. So I think it's
one of the school system that they will introduce badminton as one of the interscholastic sports event with the schools.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it is quite critical for something like shuttle time to be around so that the sport can get more awareness, as you said, on the scholastic level. In terms of you know, what's happening in Marianas at the moment and perhaps more into the future as well. Maybe this one's for you, Merle, is what are the plans and what have you got in place to continue to increase the participation in badminton, provided that there's no hiccups involved with natural disasters, et cetera. And obviously, hopefully in a more COVID normal world or no COVID world, what plans have you got in place to help increase the participation in the sport over there?
Yeah, I think in every sport, it's not just badminton, one way to really make the sports popular is introduce it to a school. You know, every school, right, they love to compete to other school. When you introduce it to the school and everybody, all the school are playing, and then when they play the sports, then they're not playing because just not just because of badminton or because of soccer, because of tennis, they're playing for the school. So if they're playing for this school, then they get to really learn, train, right, be better. And I think that's one way of promoting the sports.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And just giving them the opportunity to, because I guess we're all of us on the podcast here today are all very biased towards badminton because we do love the sport. But I think it's one of those sports that once you can try it, then you know how it feels to play. And that's when you can start to fall in love with it and really enjoy it. But let's just say for someone who doesn't know the sport very well, and maybe they just watch it or don't know how it feels to hit a really good shot or a nice smash or something like that, then it doesn't give them the opportunity to grow that love for the sport. So I think that's so important that there's that school opportunity for young kids to and children of all ages to start playing badminton. So from an athlete's point of view, so Janelle or Nathan, you can take this question here. What's coming up for you as athlete? What are you training towards? What are your goals moving forwards? And yeah, what does a really good 2021 and even 2022 look like for you?
I guess moving forward, the goal is to be prepared and be ready for the 2022 mini games here in Saipan. You know, we're looking to training early, you know, and training hard. So we're definitely not going to have the mindset to just go in there and have fun, you know, although we will have fun, but the goal is to try and win, try our absolute best to come out on top. You know, normally a lot of people on the island, I feel like they might sell themselves short because there's a lot of, you know, other countries that are a lot better. But I feel like as an athlete, your mind, it's where you limit your mindset at. If you give yourself a limit, then you're always going to be obviously limited to that. You need to, you know, sky's the limit. So as long as you have that mindset to, you know, grow 1% every day, you're going to get there, I believe so.
Yeah, that's a great mindset to have. How about you, Janelle?
So right now, I would say like our biggest challenge right now is having women for the national team because one of my partners, she left to the States for college. There's 7 of us right now, minus 1, so there's 6, but I'm the only woman right now who's currently playing. So I would say like I'm trying to train more women. As of right now, I am training about 4 women. I won't say that they will get there by a year and a half. I would say I'll try my best to train them and also train myself for that matter to actually make our team grow. So right now, like all I do is teach what I can to them and also whatever my team knows that they can help them also.
Okay, so let's add all the things to what you're doing. So you're a coach as well. So that coach, student, athlete, board member.
And I would say, building on what you were saying earlier about gender equality, because that was what Janelle was saying, I feel like, you know, as a male, you shouldn't limit yourself to thinking that a female cannot, maybe if they're not stronger, one that's thinking that you can't learn. I feel like anybody, male, female, you can learn from anybody. And if you limit that yourself, then you're not going to be growing. You can learn something new from anybody, either male or female. And it's important to have that mindset as well. I've learned some stuff from Janelle. I've learned some stuff from my teammate, Nicole, that helped me grow. And I'm sure it's vice versa, you know, so we all lean on each other to get better every day. So yeah, I feel that's important.
Yeah, that is a really key message because different perspectives are good, right? So regardless of who they're coming from, a different perspective just gives you a bit of an insight as to how it might look from a different lens that you're not seeing it through. So just a question, just with the Pacific Mini Games next year, which islands are represented there?
Yeah, it's the whole island.
The whole Pacific.
I know. Yeah, the whole Pacific.
Yeah, the whole Pacific. So I know when we were in Samoa the last time, it was the Sina Mai, Samoa, Tonga, Kiribati, yeah. Tahiti, New Caledonia, Fiji, and There's one more.
Solomon, yeah.
Solomon Islands, yes. And then I don't know, Tahiti was there.
Yeah, Dubai.
And yeah, that was it. Guam, I think they were supposed to be in, but I believe they might be in this coming games.
I was momentarily trying to Google all the islands involved, but I'm pretty sure you covered all of them. So thank you for that, Nathan.
Good job.
Yeah. Awesome. So we're coming towards the end of this podcast. And I guess one of the final things that we would like to ask is there anything that we should have asked you, but we haven't?
You know what?
You know, I don't think anything's really coming to mind right now, but yeah, it will probably come later whenever you want us to.
Yeah, I think we would like to ask us is to invite our Badminton Oceania family to participate in the upcoming Pacific Mini Games and give us support since you've heard of our story. Not just, I don't know, you athlete, you know what to ask.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, either whoever's going to be watching this podcast, Coach. You know, now you know that there's badminton in CNMI. And in Saipan, and just be supporting the team and supporting the sport in general. It'll be a big help.
Yeah, Badminton Oceania has been very supportive to us in terms of sending us equipment. But as we all know, right, shipping from New Zealand or Australia is not easy. So they are trying their best to give us some, but of course, they're also asking us to help them find the source, right, where to purchase, because it's costly to ship equipment to Northern Mariana Islands. So anyway, let's also, we're in communication with Nadia on a regular basis, right? So I guess sometimes she talk about coach to be sent here, but because of the typhoon like that, it didn't push through. But she is also like thinking of maybe someone from Philippines, from Korea, like that too, it's easier. But then we are part of Badminton Oceania. That's why we don't know how to work on that, how to get a connection to engage us to the other confederation. So if you can help us in that area.
Technical support. Yeah. Sure.
So first of all, I just want to say that anyone who's listening to this podcast, especially you, if you are in the Pacific Islands, to make sure you do attend the mini games next year. It sounds like it's going to be an amazing event. And anyone who's listening in Northern Marianas, of course, making sure that you're going there to support and also trying badminton out, because hopefully when you get to see it being played at a high level at the games, then that will, yeah, you'll be able to see badminton in its real great form. And feel free to, I'm sure, connect with the team here that we've got today to get involved. Secondly, I do think that Badminton Oceania is doing a great job in promoting badminton in the Pacific Islands and all the smaller islands around Oceania. It is a quite a large space and lots of sea between us all. So it is a bit from that perspective. And we wouldn't have met and been able to have this podcast without the help of Badminton Oceania connecting us. So really grateful for their help and what they're doing. Now, in terms of the connections, we might have to speak about it off the podcast itself, but there potentially could be. I can think of one on the top of my head in the Philippines, but not too sure about Japan and Korea. So, yeah. So, look, as Henry said, we are wrapping up this podcast, but there is something that we are asking all of our guests, and we have been doing so for the past 14 episodes or so. And that is some predictions for the men's singles and women's singles gold medal winners at the Olympics in Tokyo. So, of course, they were meant to be last year, but because of COVID, they are planned for this year in a few months' time. So we can only give you one vote, even though there's four of you. So what we might do is, if we can get a consensus as to who would take the gold medal for the men's singles and who would take the gold medal for the women's singles, that you all agree upon, and we'll put your votes in.
Don't limit yourself, Nathan.
Okay, I'm telling you, if you want all the categories, I can tell you who's going to win. I know it. Momota, nobody's beating Momota, I think so, man. Yeah, women's singles, I think Taishui or Marin. You know, Marin has the...
Yeah, she's been winning.
For me, the way I see it, she has the ability to really push herself beyond her limits during the game, and I don't think that anybody's going to... Anybody can compete with that. You know, Taishui Ying is very crafty, so... that's what's going to give her the edge as well.
Okay, so you can only choose one. Who would that one? Who would that one be? And it has to be a team effort, guys.
Yeah, not just you, Nate.
I think Tai Tzu Ying. Me and Janelle watch badminton all the time. So Tai Tzu Ying is going to be my vote, and then Gento Momota. You can't. It's hard to bet against him. It's hard.
So is this the panel in agreement here?
We concur.
Yes, they agree. Yes, they agree.
We concur.
Us to agree.
Awesome. So I will tell everyone what the poll is at the moment. So just an update for the men's singles. We have Kento Momota at 8 votes. We have Victor Axelsen at 4 votes. And we have Anders Antonsen at 1 vote. So Momota's in the lead there. So if you pick Momota, who knows? You could be onto a winner there. Anyway, women's singles, we've got Carolina Marin at 8 votes. We've got Tai Tzu Ying at 3 votes now. And we've got Nozomi Okuhara at 2 votes. So you're voting for the lead position in the men's singles and the second position in the women's singles at the moment. So we'll find out come the 2021 Olympics. Alrighty. So Jeff and I from the Badminton Podcast and the Badminton community would love to thank you all, the panel of guests that we've had for this episode. So thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
And if our listeners would like to reach out to the Northern Marianas Badminton Association or to each of you individually, how would they get in touch?
Okay, we have our Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's NMBA, so it's easy to search. So, and then just leave a message there and then we will reply them.
Yeah, and with me, it's my Facebook. It's just Nathan M. Guerrero.
Yeah.
Or my own is Janelle Pangilinan, so you can always message me.
Yeah.
And if we're ever listening, if you guys are coaches or you know, give us some tips, or if you guys are like ranking players, help us out.
Yeah. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah. We also would like to thank Badminton Oceania for always checking on us. It's like we are their babies. They are really spoon feeding us for everything. Yeah, they're very supportive. Yeah, Julie, Nadia, and everyone, and Badminton Oceania.
And as well as Badminton Oceania, I think everybody here that you know is interested in buying a racket would like to thank you guys for your YouTube racket reviews. It really helps. As you know, we don't have a store here, so yeah, those ones really helps. And keep on keeping on.
Thank you. That means a lot to us. We're always trying to do what we can for the badminton community through our videos and through the podcast and sharing the stories from everyone. So thank you once again. For our Henry's just sent a message and he's just said one last thing about the YouTube videos. Don't get upset with our aesthetics ratings. Nothing does the most commonly disputed rating that we get in the comments is about not agreeing with our aesthetics rating for the racket. So everyone who doesn't agree.
Yeah, I believe the Astrox 8080 is a 8080 Pro's a nice racket, man.
Exactly what we're saying. But thank you once again for being on the podcast. It's been really fun. We've learned a lot, and I'm sure all the listeners have too.
Thank you. Take care. Stay safe.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
So from Henry and I at the Badminton Podcast, thanks for tuning in to this episode. If you've enjoyed it or found it useful, be sure to share it with your family, friends, teammates, and someone outside your badminton circle too, because with your help, we can show the world how incredible badminton is.
To keep up to date with new episodes and who we're interviewing next, make sure you connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at The Badminton Podcast, and on Twitter at The Badminton Pod. Feel free to contact us and ask any questions, give us feedback, or request topics for future episodes. We love hearing from you. And remember to check out and shop for your simple and minimalist badminton gear at volantwear.com. Catch you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.